All right, the recording has started. I'm calling the meeting to order. It's 6 o'clock on April 23rd. Before I start with our routines of the meeting, because this is an exceptional meeting, I just wanted to cover some points, and then we'll get going with attendance. First of all, the reason we are having this meeting via teleconference is because of the executive order. We cannot meet in groups. And executive order 7.
Judy DeLaRocca.
Okay.
Karen McCarthy.
You don't have to, anybody else that's calling in, of course, won't hear this, but you don't need to identify yourself until it's time to make comments. Okay. So Executive Order 7I states that the July 1st, 2020 to June 30th, 2021 fiscal year, the municipality's legislative body shall authorize the budget making authority, the budget making authority being the Board of Governors, to adopt a budget and a mill rate without holding a vote or complying with any other in-person requirements related to the budget. The order also requires the budget to take on all reasonable steps to publicize the draft budget and receive public comment thereon. Okay, so what we are going to be doing, well, sorry, let me get back to the chat.
Hey, Cheryl. Cheryl, can you mute everybody but yourself? Because I think there's feedback.
Yeah, a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I can mute everybody.
Let's make sure everybody else
is muted. Once the meeting gets started, we're not going to be able to do that. We'll be here till midnight. Let me see if I can, if I move farther away, I'll see. Can people hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, maybe it's because I was too close to my computer. All right, this meeting is being recorded live. The proceedings will run as usual. Members of the board will identify themselves each time they speak, which is an irregularity, but so that we all know who is speaking. When we take votes, they will be taken by board members in alphabetical order of first name. That's just so that I can stay orderly. And I'll, for the first time we vote, I'll go through the list. Now, here's an important part for anybody in the public that wants to make a comment. We will have our two public comments times. Once at the beginning and once at the end of the meeting. At that time, I will tell you the way this teleconference works. If anybody, so everyone will be muted then, except for myself and whoever I recognize. If you would like to make a comment, please identify yourself, give your address, recognize that there's a 3-minute limit. And in order to get on the list to be recognized, I have a list on my screen, you need to dial *6. When you dial *6, your name will come up, and I will recognize people in the order that they come up. When we are done with public comments, I will go back to lecture mode. Obviously, as usual, the public will not participate in that part of the meeting, but you will be able to hear everything that we are saying. Expect pauses, so everything's going to take a little bit longer. If for some reason you get disconnected when you are in line to make a public comment, please just redial, put your PIN in, and put *6 in again. And before we get started, I want to thank a few people. I'd like to thank Colleen Chapin for helping organize and get this teleconference running smoothly. I would like to thank Cindy Donovan, who was our treasurer up until March 31st and did an extraordinary job and was very helpful in teaching us all and handling our finances. I would like to thank Dan Lemieux, who continues to help us. He will be actively participating in the meeting with the board when it comes to fiscal issues. He has been enormous help with the transition between Cindy's departure and Al Capoza, our new treasurer, who I welcome. That said, let's go ahead and take attendance. And again, I'm going to do this in alphabetical order so we can get used to the alphabetical order stuff for when we are voting. Billy McDowell?
I'm here.
Mike Johnson? Mike, I know you're here, but I didn't hear you. Phil Lombardo?
Here.
Rick Deschenko?
Here.
Steve Beauchesne?
Here.
Will Fountain?
Here.
Brooke Stevens? Al Capoza?
Here.
Dan Lemieux? Ruth Ames? Jim Moffitt?
Here.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Cheryl.
That I know are
Cheryl,
here didn't
I'm
respond.
Sorry.
I'm not sure if I'm giving them enough time to respond. So, Mike Johnson?
I'm here. Can you hear
okay,
me?
Okay, I couldn't hear you, so that's good to know. If you speak during the meeting and I don't respond or someone else doesn't respond, speak up. I don't know why I didn't hear you that time.
Okay.
And Brooke, I did not hear you.
I'm here. I was just on mute, so there was no feedback.
Okay. Yeah, take it off mute. I think I was just too close to my speaker. And Ruth Ames?
I'm here.
Good. I know you're here. I just wanted to make sure I heard you. All right.
Yep.
Okay, then next on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Can I have a motion to move to approve the minutes of January 14th, 2020?
So moved, Steve Beauchesne.
Okay, Steve moved. Can we have a second?
Bill McDowell,
I'll second.
Brooke, did you hear that? Brooke?
I didn't hear him. I heard it second, but I didn't hear who it was. It sounded like two people responded.
Whoever, could someone second that, please?
Bill McDowell, I'll second it.
Bill will second it. Okay, I'm just going to run through yays or nays. Bill?
Yay.
Mike?
Yay.
Phil?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yep.
Will?
Yeah.
And yes for Cheryl. I would like to have a motion to approve the minutes of February 27th, 2020.
So moved, Steve Beauchesne.
Steve
Bill McDowell second.
Billy McDowell seconded. Let's vote. Bill?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
Yeah.
And Cheryl is a yes. Thank you. Communications to the board. Brooke has posted a lot of communications. Will be attached to the minutes. And we are adding two communications that I received last night via email from Cindy Trockey and Barbara Johnson. And now it is time for initial public comments. In a minute, I am going to switch to question and answer. If you would like, it's not really question and answer, it's public comments. If you have any questions, I will write them down and we'll see if we can answer them during the context of the meeting or after at the end of the meeting. Dial star 6 if you have a comment. Give your name and address. And remember to keep it at 3 minutes, please. All right. I have not gotten anybody in the question and answer queue. Colleen, could you just double check and
just,
see if...
Just remind everybody that star 6 on their phone, if they've got something to say during this time, if they hit star 6 on their phone, they should come off, they should register as a question, and then you can unmute them.
And I am on the little blue box that says question and answer queue, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody come up yet either.
So it's possible that we're processing someone wanting to say something. No, someone just connected.
Let's why don't you test it out and ask somebody that you know is on the phone. There, Diane Zukowski.
Oh, I have one pending question. Diane Zukowski. Okay, so it is working. Thank you, Colleen. Okay, I have a few people on the list. I'm going to go down the list. So the first person, Diane Zukowski, I believe you may speak now, and I will hear you.
I just did it to make sure it was working.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Good job.
Okay, I'm going to remove Diane. And the next person in line is Bruce Craven. Hang on. Okay, Bruce. Or Kim.
Just on this.
You can speak now. Or Bryce, I'm sorry, Bryce Hi. Craven. Bruce.
Hi, it's Kim Craven, 46
Kim. Okay. Kim, could you speak up a little, please?
It's Kim Craven, 46 East Shore. I did the same thing Diane did, just so you could check.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. I have a wireless caller from area code 508. You may speak.
Cindy Troche, 22 Blue Heron.
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to understand the contact when I tried to email that I get the Board of Governors to respond from the Board of Governors email opposed to any personal emails. That's my comment. That's all. Thank you.
Cindy, I'm sorry. Don't hang up yet. I missed the beginning of that. You said something about directing something to Board of Governors rather than individual email?
Yes, like when I felt that I was in communication with you, I was trying to make sure that the board was involved or whatever, and it seemed like I got a personal email back instead of with the Board of Governors.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I can address that later.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll wait a few more minutes to see. All right, I don't have any other questions, so I'm going to return to the general mode. Okay, I want to unmute everyone. Okay, so what that means is that while everybody's unmuted, the only people...
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I think there's a lot of feedback, and if you mute everybody and then selectively unmute the board, I think it'll be a little bit more successful.
Can I unmute the entire board, or do I have to do that individually as people speak?
You'll do it in, like, I'll help you. Go ahead and mute everybody, and I'll unmute the board.
Thank you.
Just, if I don't get everybody, I'm sorry. If I don't get everybody and you're on the board, you can you should be able to star six on your phone, and that will unmute you.
Even if I'm not in question and answer mode?
Yes, that should be the case. But I'm going through if I just miss somebody because they have a different name.
Do you have the list of officers as well? Tax collector, treasurer.
I'm trying to get through them. Again, if you're on the board and you're shouting into the wind, star six your phone.
Okay. And Colleen, if you can, just to make it less complicated, if you can get Dan Lemieux unmuted as well, I would appreciate it. Okay. All right, we are going to move on to agenda number 5, reports. The first thing, I've already said this, but I want to report the resignation of Cindy Donovan as of March 31st as treasurer for the association. She was remarkable, and I'm sorry that she had to leave for personal reasons. So next, can we have the treasurer's report, Al?
Yes, she can. I guess I'm not quite sure from the standpoint of details, but I have issued the report, budget versus actual, through April 21st. And I will again update it at the end of the month for any new expenses and revenues. From the standpoint of the actual report, Cheryl, should I go through the report or basically just...
I would just give us a summary of where we are now, and we will be getting a lot more details from you when we go over the budget proposal.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh, can you just tell us, like, the figures, the general figures of where we are now? What are in all of our accounts in...
No, I'm sorry, but you're very weak.
Let me get closer to the speaker. Can you just tell us where we are now, without giving us the specifics, just the general where we stand fiscally now?
Well, basically, through April, we got most of our income in. It's standing now at $852,000. We anticipate probably another $7,000 or so till the end of June. Our expenses through April, $825,000, and we're projecting that number to be $928,000 through June. Essentially, when you net the revenue out, it actually means about a $70,000 increase in expenses that still has to be paid for through the end of June. And as of this time, we've got the funds to do that without any issues.
Great. Are there any questions for Al at this time from the board? All right. Thank you, Al, and we'll be hearing more from you later.
Right.
Ruth, could we hear from you now, please? The tax collector?
Yes.
Yep. My report is that of the $208,877 I was to collect for the real estate portion, there's $1,535 remaining outstanding, and that represents four accounts that have not paid in full, and that's for the taxes. For the special assessment, of the $606,873, $5,000 remains unpaid. One is partially paid, but it's included in that $5,000. But that's a 99% collection rate on both of those. And I still have this poor little guy that owes $5.53 that doesn't want to part with his money for that was due July 1, 2018.
Bruce, I'm sorry, can you speak up a little?
Well, the other part is that the liens have been issued on all of the outstanding accounts.
Okay.
Is that okay?
That is fine. Oh, I heard you much better that time. So belt it out if you don't mind. Okay. And do you want to move on to Executive Order 7W now?
I'm sorry, do you what?
Did you want to discuss Executive Order 7W now in terms of the tax deferment?
Yes, I can if you want me to at this point.
Would you please?
Yes, I will. When the issue came out from the governor that relative to tax relief, well, relative to COVID-19, a tax relief program was going to be initiated. And there were various choices that the towns, the municipalities, could make. And the edict by the governor was that whatever is decided by the municipality board of governors or board of directors or board of selectmen in our case, that is what was going to have to be applied to the various districts. And that being said, it raised a lot of questions. I had a lot of questions. So I was in touch with we had a Zoom meeting, and it was with the Office of Policy and Management, where they answered a lot of the questions that we had, one of which was, well, who's going to get this deferral? What do you have to do? So the town of East Lyme voted that, in fact, what you will do is you will get a form with your tax bill from the town of East Lyme that will say, I qualify because I lost my job. I qualify because I'm a landlord and I've given my tenants a break. I qualify because my salary has been reduced. I'm furloughed. It's all on this form. And then you will submit that to the town of East Lyme for approval by the municipality. Well, that doesn't help me at all because the tax collector in the town of East Lyme is going to be sending out 20,000 tax bills, and I bet he's not going to call me when one of the black pointers says, that guy deferred. So I then dealt with the first selectman and the attorney for Black Point, and we came up with a solution whereby a form will go to all the black pointers and my other districts as well, asking them if they are explaining what's going to happen, explaining that you're going to get a form from the town of East Lyme. And then the form that I'm sending out and has been approved will ask, are you going to apply for a tax relief? If that is, and all you have to do is send, if you are going to apply it, you send it back to me. If you're not, well, I'm not going to be interested. But if you are, what it means is that you will have until October 1st to pay without any penalty, but on October 2nd, the interest will be charged at 6%. We'll be back at the 18% per year. But the municipality, it has to be very clear that the municipality is the one that makes the decision. So once you send this form back to me, then I know I can go to John and say, did such and such send it in, and has he been approved? So I hope that explains it to people. The form, I think, is quite explanatory, thanks to Cheryl with some questions. And the only thing about it is that the form for the town of East Lyme is expected to be returned to their tax office by July 1. And I don't know if you're going to get your tax bills from the town of East Lyme by July 1, but nonetheless, I've asked you to submit it to me by July 1 because that's what the statute says. And you'll know whether you're going to apply. So that's all I really want to know. So I will answer any questions. And I don't know what else to say.
Well, thank you very much. That was very enlightening. Are there any questions from the board for Ruth?
No. Well done, Ruth.
Thank you. Whoever you are, thank you. I'd like to get a pat on the back.
Yeah, Phil Lombardo.
Ruth, I think also I'll ask you at some point by the phone informally for something that I can write up and include in the May letter, annual letter that we send out.
Okay, you'll get in contact with me later on?
Will do, yes. Yeah.
Okay, a little heads up. It's going to be 104 degrees here where I am, and so we are heading home tomorrow.
Well, be safe. It's raining and miserable here.
I'll take the miserable, the rain.
Exactly.
It's very hot.
It'll probably be refreshing for you.
Right.
Travel safely, Ruth.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, thank you, Ruth. And now, can we hear from Jim?
That would be me.
That would be you.
How you doing, everybody? This is Jim Moffitt, your association manager. As far as the board goes, a couple of nights ago, I sent you an email with my manager's report for March and April. If you have any questions on that, maybe we can bring that up now. A couple of things which we'll be talking about in a little bit are the clubhouse floor will be getting installed soon. Everything's ready for the Gaga pit to start getting put together and our opening of the beach activities. I know I'm hoping to talk about a little bit about the dates that we want, like the kayaks, when you want them installed, when do you want to harvest back the sand on the beach, and that's, those answers I'd like to get from tonight, too, if possible. But if there's any questions, I can answer them.
Hey, this is Rick Dyshenko. Rick Dyshenko, I have a question on the clubhouse open. You have April 1st. Is that going to be delayed because of all the government setbacks?
As far as the clubhouse being open, that's when I had the water turned on and everything's working properly. And it's also it's going to be open so they can install the floor starting next week.
So we will be discussing, and we're probably not going to come to a whole lot of conclusions later on in the meeting, when and how things will open and things will be available to the membership. However, right now, I believe there's an executive order saying that public places of gathering need to be closed. So while the clubhouse is open for repairs and, maintenance, it cannot be open for recreational activities at this time.
Yeah,
but we'll go into more detail.
That's what
later.
I meant by open.
I'm sorry, what?
That's all I meant by opening is that it's operating properly.
Okay.
And Jim, I believe I had said to you later on, we'll be discussing under old or new business the other maintenance things, but Brooke said it would be appropriate for us to discuss it during the report. So do you want to fill us in on anything, or do you need any votes? I believe you do, on things like the White Cap parking lot, the Nehantic bridge, the Jamco LED lights, anything you need board approval on the discussion.
Those are still coming together. You've already given me the approval in the January meeting on the 1400 to take the trees down at the White Cap parking lot. We still have the low bid to talk about for the repair of the parking lot, the 13 foot by 20 foot repair. That has to be brought up for discussion. I do have the low bids on that. And what else was, I guess this, the moving of the sand and,
that will hold off on until we talk about the general response to COVID in the beach.
Okay. But the only question I think is open is I continue to keep the playground closed. Do we want to change the date on the clay tennis court?
Let's hold off on dates until we have the discussion about response to COVID, okay?
So, yep.
But there are a few things. I think we would probably, when we spoke with you last month about the railing on Nehantic, we didn't actually vote for the money for it, although we all wanted it because we were waiting here to make sure that Mike Niebelin could do it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
There's a bit of a discrepancy between what we knew last month or the last meeting and what we have now. So I think that it would be appropriate for us to make this decision firm so we can get that rail in.
The rail is 16 foot long. It's for, where did I have that price though? I think it was for 1400. Yeah, $1,400.
$1,400, and it's
installed,
more expensive because it's longer?
Yes, than the one that was previous.
Okay.
The one that was previously bid was estimated at.
All right, does the board have any questions about that?
This is Mike Johnson, 45 Bel Air.
Yep.
Okay, I went by the clubhouse today, and there were some people running like a drill. They had little flags with cones on them, and they running. Do you know anything about that, what that deal is?
They were teenagers. They were like high school age, and they looked like, to me, I saw like four of them. I didn't see a group of five, and they looked like they were just kind of practicing some soccer, with doing some drills. I didn't stay very long.
But they weren't distancing, and there was an adult with them.
Okay.
So herein lies the problem. They definitely should not have been doing that according to executive order. However, we don't have any formal enforcement in place at this time of year. Jim's role as an enforcer is during the summer months. Mike, can we table this discussion till the end of the meeting again when we talk about how we're going to manage our environment in the context of the restrictions from COVID?
Yes, we can.
Great. And would you, it's in the budget, not in the budget, it's in the agenda, but would you remind me in case I forget that specific part? Can I get back to the Nehantic railing, since we've discussed it for a long time? Would someone like to make a motion that we that we spend $1,400 for a hand railing on the Nehantic entrance to the beach.
So moved. You both name?
Seconded?
Bill Lombardo, second.
Okay. Let's run down through. Did everybody get that motion? Does any, Brooke, you need to read it out loud?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that again, please?
I just wanted to make sure that Brooke had that motion down.
Oh.
Yeah, I have it. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to run. I'm going to call you all in alphabetical order, yay or nay. Bill?
Yay.
Mike?
Yay.
Bill?
Yeah.
Rick?
No.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
No.
And I'm a yay. So that would be 6-1 in favor of $1,400 for the Nehantic railing. There are two other things that are pending. One is we talked about, actually we okayed, I believe, taking down one dead tree. Was that correct?
No. Jim? No. Two dead trees. Two trees.
Yeah, the two trees at Whitecap. That's what was approved at the January meeting.
And did we approve an amount?
Yes.
It's in the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
This is Phil Lombardo?
Yes.
I don't recall seeing that in the minutes.
The January 14th.
I thought we don't. I'm gonna go back to the minutes right now. If anybody else wants to look up, I'm gonna be just.
Yeah, page three.
This is Phil Lombardo.
Hang on, Phil. Yes.
It's Phil Lombardo. I support taking the two trees down, but I don't recall there being a vote, and I think we should just vote now and get it over with, just in case there was no vote.
This is Jim. This is Jim. I'm looking at the January minutes meeting, and on page three, at the bottom of page three, there was a vote 7-0.
What was the vote for? What was the motion?
To approve the allocation for tree removal service from Wilcox Tree for the lowest bid of $1,350.
Okay.
Okay. So it doesn't matter. People did not understand at that time. We weren't taking them down because they were dead.
Well, they're not totally dead, but I think they're dangerous.
Okay, no, that's all right. I just wanted to make sure because it was January, so we couldn't see if they were budding or not. They are now budding, and if people want them down, that's fine, but if it was because they were dead, it may be, does anybody want to engage in any discussion on that? Okay, then we have the approval?
Yes.
Okay. Nehantic Rail is done. Trees are done. Jim had also brought up repairing the Whitecap parking lot in terms of the expense of filling some potholes that are sinkholes. We did not discuss an expense. We did not discuss if we wanted to address that this year or just do a fix for this year. So I guess the procedure would be someone make a motion that we repair them, and then there will be discussion, and then there will be a vote. Does anyone want to move that we repair the sinkholes in the Whitecap parking lot?
This is Mike Johnson. I'll say I move that we repair the potholes at Whitecap parking lot.
Okay, is that seconded?
Could you
second
say how much
it, Tony? 75.
How much is it going to cost?
This is Jim Moffitt. It's gonna be 1800.
And that's for three sinkholes?
That's for the 23 by 13 foot patch repair for several sinkholes, yeah.
I'll second it, Steve Beauchesne.
Okay, seconded by Steve. Let's take a vote. All in favor, Bill?
Can we have discussion?
Have discussion first?
Okay, discussion.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry.
This is Phil Lombardo.
Yep.
To redo 23 by 13 in a parking lot that's in really bad shape and needs to be fixed long term, seems like we should wait until we do the whole job. If we want to fix those potholes, I think we could just do some little small repair rather than $1,600 repair. So I'm concerned about spending the $1,600 to do a sort of a half job or a third job, whatever it is.
Thank you, Phil. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Rick Dyshank. Was there a long-term idea of repaving the whole Whitecap parking lot?
That remains to be seen. The long-term fiscal committee could not get together this year because of COVID, but that will certainly be on the agenda.
Is it a this is Rick again. Is it a safety issue?
This is Jim. It is a safety issue. It's been brought up by members a few times. It's very uneven, and there's like four or five sinkholes there that it needs to be cut out, re-leveled, and re-poured. And I think this is kind of a substructure work that for later on when we do line striping and crack filling and you know, steel coating the parking lot for good, this would have to be done anyway. So it would be part of that process, maybe down the road a couple years when we would want to do the remaining parking lot.
Any other discussion?
This is Rick again. Is another option besides that that's a little less expensive, or is that the bottom line?
This is Phil Lombardo. There are two or three holes that are maybe, I don't know, a foot or two, depressions, I guess. And it seems to me that temporarily we could get a couple of bags of asphalt poured in there, call it a day, until we figure out what we're really going to do with that thing.
This is Mike Johnson. I think a fix might be better also than doing the amount of money that they're talking about to do the fix, if we're going to look at it again in the future.
Anyone else? I'll throw my two cents in. I agree that unless it's really hazardous, and when I was down and looked at them, I didn't feel it was urgent either. So we could talk about filling them with gravel or something temporarily. At any rate, any other discussion or shall we vote? I'm losing track of my notes. Did we actually get a motion? We did get a motion on this, did we not?
Can I just throw one last thing in there?
Yeah.
This is Jim. When I did, I spoke to Northeast Paving and they came out and we walked it. And we looked at it over a couple-phase project. Now, if we to do what the second part of it, after we repaired for $1,800 to repair that 23 by 13-foot patch, the several sinkholes, a long-term project would have been another close to $4,000, and that would have involved the steel coating, the crack filling, and the line striping for the remainder of the parking lot. So that would have been the overall picture. To kind of totally redo that parking lot would have been a total amount of $5,650, but the $1,800 is the 23 by 13 foot repair. So just to make sure we got the full picture.
Thank you, Jim. Brooke, could you read that motion for us?
Give me 1 second. I'm just turning to the other page. So Mike Johnson motioned to repair the sinkholes in the White Cap parking lot, and it was seconded by Steve Buchane.
Okay, so let's take a vote. There's any final discussion on this? Okay, Billy?
Nay.
Mike?
Nay.
Phil?
No.
Rick?
No.
Steve?
No, as long as we repair the sinkholes.
Okay, you mean like a temporary fix?
Yep, patch.
Okay. Will?
No.
That was a no?
No.
Okay. Okay, and I'm going no, so it is unanimous to wait and just do a temporary fix on that. Okay. Your report also alluded to LED lights on the basketball courts. Is that something that we need to address imminently, Jim?
This is Jim again. No, they were. I was just getting an estimate on that. It was more that would be look like long term savings, but at the same time I'm asking them to put in motion detectors into the bathrooms of the clubhouse.
So you're just working on getting bids, and we'll be discussing this more in the future. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably okay. Their next meeting or the meeting after.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Moving on to reports, liaison reports. Steve, could we hear from you in terms of zoning and follow-up on peers?
Sure. Steve Beauchene, liaison to zoning. We've got a couple items. I'm going to try to be as brief as I can be. I don't know. People realize Jim Mastria from zoning resigned in January of this year. The chair of the zoning and secretary would like to move John Horoho, who is now an alternate member, into a full membership. He has had 100% attendance as an alternate, and they felt he would be an exceptional member. So I'd like to entertain a motion to put John Horoho in as a full-time zoning member rather than an alternate.
Can I have a second?
I'll second it. Bill McDowell.
Okay. Discussion? All right, let's vote. Bill?
Yay.
Mike?
Yay.
Phil?
Yep.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
Yes.
Cheryl, yes. Unanimous.
Thank you. They're looking for, they've had a position in the black corner on the website since September requesting members interested in being an alternate member to the zoning to step up. They'd like to have a full board, and that would consist of three alternate members. They have one in Barbara Koenig, and two members of the community have stepped up, Charles Bruce from 53 Seaspray Ave, as well as Joseph Katzbeck from Billa Road, 9 Billa Road. And the zoning committee was requesting that the board approve them as alternate members to the zoning board. So I'd like to make a motion to allow Charles Bruce and Joseph Katzbeck to join the zoning board as alternate members.
A second?
Mike Johnson, I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right. Let's vote. Bill?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will? Yeah. Cheryl, yes. Okay, unanimous.
Thank you, everybody. Two more items. I did forward off a property management guide from zoning. They're trying to follow in the footsteps of the other municipal area, small town. And with Black Point becoming more of a year-round community rather than a seasonal community, they thought these were important guidelines to have on the books, and no mention of enforcement at all yet, but I think they want to have this as a member, as a part of the paperwork we have for Black Point, is giving people guidance. So I don't know what, if this requires a motion or if we want to make a motion to adopt that guideline. I don't know if everybody had a chance to read it. But we can include that with the minutes that go out to the community so that they can see what we're looking at anyway.
Has the zoning board already determined that that's what they want and they need the board's approval?
Yeah, when I got an email from Jim Fox, and he was asking if we could bring this before the board to see if they would support that. I guess that's just it. If the board is supportive of doing something like this.
Do we need a motion for that or just a discussion and consent?
I just think just a head count of people who would approve of it, or people want to help the zoning work on fine-tuning it, they can discuss it with me and I can bring it to the zoning. But this is just something they want to start working on because other communities have the same.
Okay, so it sounds like they really just want feedback.
Does
anybody want to contribute any feedback to zoning related to the guide that Steve sent out to us? It will be attached to the minutes to the public.
Right, I'm just looking for support if the board is in favor of continuing with this, or if they feel that it's too invasive in people's privacy or what. But I think with the community becoming more year-round instead of seasonal, something that will eventually be needed.
It's Phil Lombardo. Steve?
Yes. Steve?
Phil Lombardo. It says suggested. So I guess it means that why did they say suggested, I guess, is my only question.
Well, they're difficult to put teeth in something like this as enforcement. They didn't want to go that far. I think this is just a trial balloon to see, to give people an idea of what they're looking at. I think if it's, if we find that people are being too lax with their maintenance, then they may want to put some teeth into it as far as enforcement. I know a lot of communities have, blight officials who go around and, look at issues and talk to the homeowners. And it's not to that point yet, because most people do a really nice job maintaining their property. It's just that they're trying to follow the lead of other communities that are becoming more year-round compared to seasonal.
Okay.
Steve, this is Rick. I believe that also covers some set-asides and percentages based on the square footage of the property, does it not?
Well, it's not really zoning issues. It's just how to maintain property. But there's zoning regulations that just don't handle blight conditions or conditions of a property, and I think that's what they're trying to address.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. So should I recommend that they continue on with this thought? Or
let's do it this way. Does anyone have any objections?
No.
All right, so take that as our support.
Okay, and the last thing, the zoning board's continuing their four-year-old review of the zoning regulations, and they're trying to elevate our regulations to conform with guidelines and standards of land use in states and town around the area. And just to give you a direction, right now they're working on developing plans for developments on small lots and non-conforming structures on those lots.
Good.
So if anybody's interested in attending a zoning meeting, if and ever we do have those back again, or by teleconferencing, they'd welcome anybody's input on those issues. So I'm
so
done
if
with the
teleconference. They will be putting it on the web for people. So
exactly. Yep. Do you mind me going to Pierre?
Please. Or did anyone have any more questions about zoning?
Yeah, I just want to make, this is Rick, I want to make one comment. I think that's a very necessary thing that they should look at. Just as we have more year-round residents, and I think it's very important to take a look at the regulations versus what they are and what they should be. They have my full approval on that.
And this is Mike Johnson. I think my approval also, I think no matter what kind of word you have in there suggested or this is what we want you to do, or you're still going to have that percentage of people that aren't going to conform, and there are always going to be a few of you.
Yep.
All right. Any other comments regarding the zoning stuff? Thank you. Go ahead, Steve, and move on to peers then.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things. We did get the as-built on the boat launch, so I have that here.
Thank you.
The Rick Pinder is going to come out when warmer weather is around, and they're going to finish up working on the pier, replace some of the rubber strips that are between the big sections, and I'm going to have them review with me how the sealer is going to go on. It's just too cold right now to do anything at that. We are holding back, I think, about 2.5% of the total bill, and they're fine with that until everything gets done. I did request a letter from them stating the items that still had to be addressed on the pier if they wanted to get the total payment, and they just said, no, just we'll get it done, and you can give us that last check. I think it's like $14,000 remaining on the balance of that. So they will be back as soon as their chemicals will work, and I will be out there watching them, so we should be good.
Great, thank you. Any questions on the peers? All right.
Steve, this is Mike Johnson.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steve, on the steel outlets that they're supposed to put at the end of those two piers, or the one pier, did they mention that when they're going to finish that work?
That's all going to be done on the same trip that they come out to do the sealing and that rubber sealer between the large pieces of the deck.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay, Rick, can you fill us in briefly on anything we need to know about the REC program?
Okay, this is Rick, and this is the REC program update. The co-directors, Erica and Nadia, are returning. The counselor positions, they've been offered and filled. The volunteers, the positions have been offered, and they're waiting for a few more to just hear back from them. Club dues. The fees are going to remain the same as last year. And what the public will be getting is they added two counselors positions. They restored from cuts from last year to improve supervision. And there'll be a full Friday program going along with this. The start date, unknown. Based on executive orders that I heard from today, that I guess New York is waiting to the end of June to start things, so I don't know what our governor is going to do, so that's still a big question mark. The fair, it's anticipated to happen. The directors are making every attempt to make it break even or have a little bit of a profit. The budget, I'll cover that during the budget section. And that's it.
Thank you. Any questions? I have one. Rick, before you started serving as a board member, the board had, over the past 2 years, revamped updated all the job descriptions for all of our employees and officers. And during the transition a year ago this spring, there was a job description written for the rec co-directors, but the program that went with it was far more expansive than in reality we were able to do. So I was wondering, I have the old job description. I looked at it, but I felt like it wasn't appropriate for me to make all the changes. I know that Steve and Phil have been very active in helping out with things like that. So could I ask you to take a look at the job description, since this is what's going to guide our supervision of the co-directors, that was written a year ago last spring, and modify it to make it more appropriate to what the program is now?
No problem.
Thank you so much. And then hopefully by May we can get them all done and added to our revamping of the procedural manual. Appreciate it.
Phil Lombardo?
Yep.
That just reminds me, we also have a document in our binder that says policies for rec programs. And I think,
Phil, you just got cut out for a couple of seconds. Could you say that again?
We have a thing in the manuals that says a policy for the rec program.
Okay.
And I'm not sure it's up to date, and it would be a nice thing if we asked our co-directors to take a look at that and make sure it's right.
Okay.
That's great. Because the rec program was in flux, it kind of missed all the revamping that we did with all the other job descriptions and policies.
Not the job description. The thing that's called the Board of Governors Policy for Rec Program.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll be worth checking that out and make sure it's right.
Okay, so I'll take a good look at that, too. Thank you.
And feel free, if you need any historical stuff, to call in on any of the other board members. It's up to you. Okay, thank you. I have a report from Will Fountain. Let's see, the clubhouse floor. The contractor is scheduled to start work on April 4th and complete work on the floor on April 8th. Did I get that right? Well,
no.
May 4th.
Yes.
Is that date April 4th, right?
Yes.
It is. So the floor has been completed?
No.
Pardon me?
Yes, it will be completed.
By what, the 8th?
What's the date?
By the 8th.
Are you talking May 8th?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay. There's typos here. I was reading April because it said 4-4. Okay, May 4th, and will be completed on May 8th.
Yes.
The Gaga pit, all necessary materials are on site and stored in the new shed. We will have to assemble it on site. This will require drilling mounting holes in the sidewalls and bolting them to the metal corner pieces. The parts cost a little over $1,000, and $1,500 was allocated for the pit. There will have to be some site work completed before assembly. Excuse me just for a minute. I'm sorry, there's a little distraction here that needs to be attended to in my home. Okay, I'm back. I know I don't have babies, but I have a dog. Excuse me. There will be some site work completed before assembling. This should be minimal. And there is around $3,000 in this year's budget under the playground item. Hope to start drilling and assembling. We have 4/18. I don't know if that's April 18th or if it's May 18th. Will?
May.
No, May.
May 18th. Okay. And volunteers will be welcome to help with the project. So that's a call out to everybody that's listening. We need some help helping put together the Gaga pit. I am sure that Will can arrange it so that there is social distancing in different staging areas for people to be drilling. All that is required as far as prepping the site is a small amount of filling in of low areas, so costs should be minimal. Any questions on Gaga Pit or floor? All right. Let's see. Moving on to old business. I erred in making the agenda by putting being redundant with Clubhouse Floor and Gaga Pit. So those two have been covered already. Amending bylaw Article 2, Section 3. This is the third meeting we've discussed it during because we were not in compliance with a different bylaw when we discussed it at a special meeting in the winter. And the meeting was special in the winter because we had no regular meetings scheduled for the winter. At any rate, to review that, in our bylaws, there is a section that says, and I'm going to abbreviate it, but basically it says, warnings of annual or special meetings of members shall be in writing, both postings at least 10 days prior to the day in which said meeting shall be held. FOIA only requires a 24-hour notice for any special meetings. So in order to be consistent with FOIA and also to make it more reasonable for us to act fast when an issue needs to be addressed, I would like to move that we change the that statement in the bylaws, which is Article 2, Section 3, to the posting of annual meetings shall be at least 10 days prior, et cetera, et cetera. And the posting of a special meeting shall be at least 24 hours prior to the day said meeting shall be held. Do you need any discussion on that? Oh, I need a second.
Okay, and this is Phil Lombardo.
Yeah, before we discuss it, can I have a second?
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, all right, go ahead, Phil.
Okay, so we've talked about this a couple of times, and the last time we talked about it, I voted to do it. But since then, for a couple of reasons, I've reread the bylaws, and all of a sudden, I'm not sure we should do this. Changing bylaws is a big deal. And if you look at the top, you know, if you look at Article 2, it says meetings of members. And then if you look at Article 3, it says Board of Governors. So the thing that we're changing is under meetings of members. Now, and it just says when we're having a meeting of members, we should have a 10-day notice. And that seems to be fine. And even if we had a special meeting of members, which we don't have very often, it would seem to be a 10-day notice would be appropriate because it'd have to be a big deal to have a meeting of members. We're talking about a membership meeting. Then if you look at the Article 3 under Board of Governors, it says, you know, a bunch of stuff. And on Section 3, it says special meetings. And it says special meetings should be done in accordance with Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. So I think we already have the okay to do special meetings the way the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act is, which is 24 hours, right? So I don't think we need to change this. And I think if we had a special meeting of the members, which we had one when we changed the charter, it would deserve to be given a 10-day. So I don't think we have to do it to get where we want to be. So I don't know. I mean,
I understand that. I think that part of the problem was interpretation. I got feedback from several people saying that the special meeting was inconsistent with FOIA and inconsistent, but because it's unclear. I think it means annual meeting. You think it means annual meeting, but it doesn't say exactly who the members are. This has been kind of an issue. I'm okay with it either way. I'm just responding to what is an inconsistency. We can certainly choose to give more notice to the next special meeting, but it was brought to my attention that it's not consistent with FOIA.
What is inconsistent? The 24
special
hours?
Special meetings, according to FOIA, need 24 hours, any special meeting.
So it is so having it 24 hours is consistent with Freedom of Information Act, and that's what we do. I think the question is, does our bylaws not allow that to have? And I'm saying that it's pretty clear. In Article 2, it says meeting of members. That's not meeting of board members. It's not a board meeting. It's a meeting of members. It's the annual meeting. And it says annual meeting here. So I don't think we have to change it. That's all.
Okay. Does anybody else want to say anything? All right. Let's vote on that motion to change or not to change. Bill?
Is this a yes or no, or do you want to change or no change? What do you want for an answer?
Do you want to make the change that removes the 10-day prior notice from special meetings?
Yes.
Okay. Mike?
No.
Phil?
No.
Rick?
No.
Steve?
No.
Will?
No.
I'm sorry, is that a yes?
No.
That was a no? Okay, so that is 5 no's to 2 yeses, and the motion was not passed. All right, thank you. This is going to be a little unwieldy. I need to add something to the agenda. So I need to make a motion in order to add this to the agenda. The Women's Club wants to make a donation of a bench. In order to vote on that, accepting it, I need to add it to the agenda. So I move we add to the agenda the Women's Club request to make a donation.
Second, Steve Beauchesne.
Thank you. All in favor, Bill?
Discussion?
Oh, sure.
I don't have any, but don't you have to ask for discussion before we vote?
Yes, I do. Thank you for that correction. Is there any discussion about adding that to the agenda?
This is Rick Ware.
Huh?
Where is the bench?
I'm sorry, Rick. I didn't hear your question.
Where is the bench
going to go?
That will be... I can't talk about it until we vote to put it on the agenda.
Oh, okay. I'll say yes.
Okay. All right. So, Bill, can we put on the agenda?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
Yeah.
Daryl, yes. Okay. Now I can tell you what they want to do. The Women's Club would like to donate a bench. They brought it up last year, but they have not made a decision as to whether they would also pay for installation. And since installation was pretty costly, we waited until they determined that, yes, they will pay for a bench and installation. Their preference would be to have it in the playground. And in order for them to do this, we need to accept it. So would someone like to move to accept the Women's Club's donation of a bench and installation?
What are you asking for again?
I just need a motion to accept the Women's Club donation of a bench.
This is Rick. I second it.
Who made this? Did I move it?
I thought you did.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, so now for discussion, Rick, you had asked where they wanted it, and Kay said they would like it in the playground. Ideally, near the, you know, the playground, like not where the climbing wall was, but in that general area, so parents can sit and watch their kids play safely.
Bill McDowell here. What does the bench look like, do we know?
Well, they gave me the price, so Jim could probably weigh in this. It's something like $500 or $600, so I believe it's those durable ones that we have.
The same type we have at the end of the private right of way.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we would be the ones ordering it.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay. Can we have a vote on accepting the donation of a bench for the playground? Bill?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
Yeah.
Cheryl, yes. Passed unanimously. Thank you, Women's Club. Okay. Sorry, I'm just getting to. Okay. The next thing on the agenda is security. So we started this discussion before the pandemic, and I guess the discussion is probably going to be even potentially more complicated based on the unknowns of this spring and summer. We discussed the possibility of looking into options for servicing security. Two of the options are the Eastline Police, which we have been using, and ACE Security. The Eastline Police, the expense varies depending on the position of the officer. So there are some times when we are spending $73 an hour because the officer has a higher rank, and they do it as a volunteer basis. So I do not know what the options are of saying we only want lower ranking people because it's $73 an hour. I talked to ACE Security. They no longer provide only 4-hour schedules. They want a whole day. I don't know what a whole day means, if that's 6, 7, or 8 hours. The rates that I got last year were significantly lower than the Eastline Police, but then we would be paying for more hours. Right now we're paying for 4 hours on Friday and Saturday nights. So that's part number one. And part number two, we may want to wait till the COVID discussion, but we may need to look and we may think about needing to look into security if there are orders that the beach is open, or if we determine not to open the beach.
Will wants to know how many incidents were reported last year.
Jim, can you answer that?
Yes. This is Jim. Incidents as far as like arrests? Or just like they had contact with kids and with members often, every, you know, pretty much every time they, I mean, they kept a daily log, and that's and I did post those logs in those monthly Google Docs, if you can go back and look, and I took snapshots of after every night they worked, so you could see the kind of interactions they did with the members. But basically, I think I'm pretty sure that they went from 8 to 12 every weekend. And, you know,
sorry, Jim, I have to correct you on that. You had reported to me that they started at 6 at the last meeting.
I did, but when I went back and looked at the book again, I had misspoke because all the books said that they started at 8.
All right, there's some inconsistencies on member reports on that, but at any rate, the issue is more what were they doing and what kind of services do we need. Okay, thanks, Jim.
Yeah, yep.
One of the other things is I noticed that there were 5 days during the 9 weekends that we employ the police that we were not serviced because it is a volunteer situation. So if no one volunteers, we don't get the service. If we employ a security agency, we get the service. We're not dependent on whether there are police volunteers. We don't need to make any decisions today, but I think we need to be paired with some kind of discussion or decide what we want to, what other information we need. So I'm throwing
Mike
it
Johnson.
To you folks. Yes, Mike.
The difference between the guards and the police in powers, do the police arrest and can the security people arrest or do they just do warnings and verbal?
I looked in the charter and we can employ people to arrest, but I don't know what that means. We would have to explore that further.
I'm just saying as a cost thing, looking at the powers between the police and the hired security guards, do they have the same basic protection ability or, you know, enforcement abilities?
I don't know. We can look into that.
I don't believe a security could write a summons or a ticket to a member or general public, or a police officer could. I don't know if any arrests would be made, but as far as ticketing somebody for doing a motor vehicle violation or something like that, I don't believe ACE has any authority to do so. I don't know for a fact.
So what it looks like is we need a lot more information. Can I get some volunteers to explore these questions further for the next meeting?
I will.
Who was that?
That was Jim.
Okay. And Jim, before you do this, it didn't sound like there was a lot of interest in making any changes. So if you don't need to do that, I just need feedback from the board. Does Jim even need to explore that, or is there no interest in making any changes?
Cheryl, Phil Lombardo?
Yeah.
Did you just say that if the rent-a-cops have to be for a whole day?
The ACE security we need to hire for a whole day. I don't know what a whole day means, if that's 6 hours or 8 hours. The guy in charge could not give me specifics. He said, what I really need to know is your needs, and then we will work something out with you.
Okay, it's contradictory.
Satisfying, but we're kind of in between. I guess my basic question is, do we want to consider a change? Because it doesn't make sense to have Jim or anybody looking into all these questions if nobody feels need for a change.
Well, I think it'd be worthwhile looking into it.
Anybody else want to weigh in?
Yeah, this is Mike Johnson. I'll give Jim a hand.
Okay, thank you so much. And again, there is a section, I believe it's in the charter, that is very specific about the fact that we can employ security people to perform certain services. And I can't remember what they all were, but it's something to review as well. So thank you, Jim and Mike. I really appreciate that. All right, let's see. Next on the agenda. New business. All right. This is the difficult part. Plans for facilities in relationship to the pandemic. Some of the questions we're going to need to address, maybe not answer, but address, are opening the clubhouse, tennis courts, kayak racks, playground. Some of these right now are controlled by an executive order. And there's a specific deadline, but we don't know if at that deadline it will be extended, as some states have extended school closures. What we want to do with the beach, do we want to open it, move the sand, clean it, open it, enforce its use in terms of social distancing? I spoke with Mark Nickerson 2 weeks ago, and he said that East Lyme is following the state's lead, and at this point, 2 weeks ago, the governor was not wanting at all to consider closing beaches this summer. He said that East Lyme would not close unless all other towns close, and therefore East Lyme would probably get everybody that couldn't go to their beaches. He recommended that private beaches prepare extra security measures for their beaches for social distancing if they choose to open them. And he said the town of East Lyme is doing their spring preparation of beaches. I asked Mary Cahill to consult with beaches through the East Lyme Council of Beaches, and I'm going to summarize this letter, but I will give it to Brooke for posting. She asked if council member associations were considering closing their beaches. And assuming there will be upcoming spring annual meetings, what plans might be under consideration to hold such a meeting again, considering the COVID-19 outbreak? At the present time, the majority of beaches remain open. Council representatives note that their beach openings will include monitoring as well as necessary restrictions depending on activities observed. Additionally, some associations indicated they will look into town, state, and federal guidelines as well as to what other beach associations are doing. Recreation and athletic facilities have been closed at a couple of the associations. Bottom line is, nobody knows. Because things are changing, pretty much everybody is saying other than the decision to move sand, and many beaches don't move sand, right now everybody's like, we're taking this day by day. It's not so late that we have to start cleaning the beaches. So they're just kind of holding to see what's going to happen. So that is all the input I have. So I guess we just need to talk about the immediate future. I know that Jim usually plans on having the sand moved so that the beach is more available to more people. Do we need to block off the piers because they're not wide enough for people to walk back and forth on? Basically, I'm opening this up for discussion in terms of what should we do in the immediate future.
Are we looking at the possibility of hiring extra patrol guards or security people to monitor the beaches?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are we looking at the possibility of having extra beach patrol people to monitor the beaches due to social distancing?
Is this Jim Moffitt?
That was Bill McDowell asking.
Yeah, okay. Are you talking about, when are you referring to? Like in June or?
Well, if we're assuming the beaches are going to be opened at least by the end of June. So once they are open and we still have social distancing, are we going to have extra security guards to maintain the social distancing issues on the beaches? Because right now we have we hire 3 guards?
Right now we have Jim and 2 patrols. Yes, Jim?
Yeah. This is Jim. Yeah, we had 2 patrol. On weekends we'd have 3 of us on.
Okay.
2 on
weekends. So once again, will that be enough personnel? Because you're going to need 1 at each beach full time.
Yeah.
You're going to have to have 1.
Probably have to beef it up.
This is Rick. As far as the governor is concerned, doesn't he make it a recommendation and not a law that you be 6 feet apart? A very strong recommendation. And if that's the case, how could we enforce that on our beach?
I would have to check. I thought it was not a recommendation any longer.
I'm not sure about that. That's okay. Why I think we need to check.
Right. Now, on the other hand, since we are a private beach, we can determine whether we want to make that rigorous as opposed to an option. So, again, a lot of things to think about. We may just want to think about what we want to do for the month of May and June, because especially on weekends, we know people are using the beaches. By June, we'll probably have, or the end of June, we'll probably have a good idea about what's going to happen this summer. But it's a week in May. Pardon me?
May and June, you're probably going to have more people on the beaches because there's more people in the area because they're no longer working, and kids aren't in school, and so on. So you're going to have more of a crowd down here than you did previously in the month of May and June because, once again, there's no kids in school. College kids will be out. Parents will be coming back with the kids because they're not working at this time.
This is Rick again. What is E-Slime doing? They're opening their beaches. What are they doing?
E-Slime right now is not closing their beaches. And they will not close them unless other local beaches close and they get an influx of everyone who has no place to go.
Yes, but are they enforced? What are they doing about the 6-foot rule?
No.
Or a suggestion, I should say.
At the time that nothing was being done, because it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Bill McDowell here. The last I heard was town was going to have the beaches open. No lifeguards on duty, swim at your own risk type thing. But that's all subject to see what the state does as far as closing like the state parks and state beaches such as Rocky Neck and Hammonasset.
Right.
This is Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
I think we should push the sand back and allow our members to use the beaches. I think as more and more people come, maybe there will be more people on the beach, but then there'll be less beach because there'll be big mounds of sand. It'll be a real mess. I think we owe our members the right to be able to use the beaches, and not. Yeah, I guess I find it hard. Maybe we do need some somebody looking over it, but I just don't see that as being a big issue. I really don't. As far as people breaking the 6-foot rule, I think that's two questions.
That is something relevant and immediate because now is about the time we would be doing it. So this would be a good time to make that decision. One thing I would like to throw in is that we do have an executive order that there are social groups no bigger than 5 people. So that would be something that is not just a suggestion. Again, we're a private beach. I'm not sure about that. But that's more to look forward to. But Phil, do you want to make a motion about the sand? Because the sand is a relatively imminent decision to make. We can choose to do it or not to do it, but this is a time when it would normally happen. So do you want to make a motion that we do it now or that we postpone it?
This is Phil Lombardo. I'd like to make a motion that we push the sand back and clean up the beach by the end of this month.
Yeah.
This month being April or May?
April or May.
April.
Jim, when does it usually get done?
It gets done mid-April.
Okay.
He said he's flexible. He probably needs a day or two.
Okay. Can we have a second on Phil's motion?
This is Rick. I second his motion.
Okay. All in favor of moving the sand on the beaches? Bill?
Yay.
Mike?
No.
Phil?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
No.
And I vote no, so that's 5-2 to in favor of moving the sand back onto the beaches. All right. Other immediate things. The clubhouse is closed legally. We can't have any public meetings or recreational events in it. Are our tennis courts locked?
Cheryl?
Yeah.
This is Rick. Since there are all these rules, wouldn't it be prudent for us to post some signs at the clubhouse and at the beaches about the 6-foot rule? Like, for example, due to COVID-19, it's recommended, highly recommended, you observe social distancing, that type of thing.
Yeah, can we hold on that thought? Right now, I'd like to find out what we are actually closing as opposed to what we are required to close and what we choose to close.
Okay.
As opposed to, certainly, I appreciate, setting up warning signs. But right now, playgrounds must be closed. So, Jim,
okay.
Tag that off. My understanding is that the clubhouse cannot be made available. If anybody feels differently, let me know. Public recreational facilities, again, our tennis courts are private, but if we want to do what East Lyme is doing, the more things we don't do with East Lyme, the more we are likely to have people coming in to try to share what we have available.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to put the kayak racks out?
No.
Will says no.
I would say no also.
Okay, so let's take it one at a time. Is it safe to assume the clubhouse cannot be available? I don't have all the laws at my disposal, but my understanding is any recreational facilities are not to be made available. So the clubhouse is not available for social events. We can't have more than five people in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to...
What about the boat launch? Will's asking about the boat launch.
Well, let's get straighten out the clubhouse first, then we'll move on to kayaks and boat launch.
Can we end discussion on the clubhouse?
We can have discussion on everything. How about if I make a motion?
Yes.
That the clubhouse and tennis courts and playground be closed. I'm a little uncomfortable with this because some of them are legal and we don't have a choice. And then we can have discussion on clubhouse, tennis courts, and playground. So someone
I'll second the motion.
Huh?
Bill McDowell, I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion to keep the clubhouse, tennis courts, and playground closed. We want to have any discussion?
This is Rick. I think that's a wise... I don't think we have a choice. I think that's from the directive.
Legally, I don't think we do.
Okay, all in favor, Bill?
Can I interject for a second? This is Jim. As far as the hard court tennis court goes, there is one net up, and that has been open, and a few people have been using it. The other net isn't up. So I guess if you close that, I would take that net down. And my other question is, so we have scheduled to start rehabilitating and opening the clay tennis courts. Those have been locked, but we do have to go through a reconditioning program, and that's all on the calendar. So I just want to give that a heads up, FYI, as you continue your discussion. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Any more discussion on clubhouse, tennis courts, and playground? All right. Are we in agreement to close them? Bill?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
No.
Cheryl, that's unanimous. We will keep them closed until we hear otherwise. So we're going to have to ask you, Jim, to do whatever it takes to make those not available to the public.
This is Jim. So I'll take the nets down, and, well, it's just one net. And then I'll take the basketball nets down, too, so they won't be looking to play basketball.
Okay, thank you. Boat launch?
It seems to me that's a single person activity. I don't know if there's any social gathering at a boat launch.
Yeah.
Well, and the marinas
there
are
could
right
be there. Multiple people launching the boat. It's, you know, somebody diving with a drone or whatever, but.
Phil, do you want to make a motion to keep them open and then we'll have a discussion?
I make a motion to keep the boat launch open. Bill McDowell.
That's Bill. Okay. Anybody want to second that?
Phil.
Okay. Now let's have some discussion about keeping the boat launch open.
This is Rick. I think that the governor has opened up marinas and boat launches in the state or is in the process of doing that.
Yeah.
I thought he just did that this week.
Okay.
Yes, I believe he did.
Okay. Any other discussion?
A point of order. This is Jim. Just,
hey, Jim? Jim?
Yeah. Yes, this is Jim.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. According to procedure, the discussion only includes that the members of the board, unless they have a specific question for one of our officers or employees.
Okay. I got you.
So,
got it.
Jim, what did... Can we ask Jim what he has?
That's okay. It's just...
Yeah. What's your input?
Yeah. I was just going to ask you to consider that we do have to change and talk about a date on putting in the geese line and the boat docks, including the boat launch dock. So those all kind of go together, and they all get coordinated with Mike Nieblong and Bibber at Sound Marine. And that schedule was going to be coming up starting in mid-May.
I think so, what you're saying is you wouldn't want the boat launch being used without the lines up?
Well, no, that they all kind of go together, that if you're planning to close the boat launch, then we would also probably be looking to close the putting out the geese line and the other swim rafts, because they is my guess, but you know, this is uncharted territory.
Activity, so I guess one of the considerations is price. Opening up the beach, putting up the swim lines is basically opening up the beach. Putting out the boat raft is asking for a whole different activity and population, and basically you're getting people off of the beach into the water. So we can make the choice to separate them, and then we may, if we choose to do that, we may have to consider an extra event.
You know, I know how flexible Mike has said he can be, so they'll do whatever we need it. If we just want to put out the boat launch dock, I don't think that'd be an issue.
Okay. Any more discussion about?
Okay, Will.
I'm sorry, can you hear that?
Will is saying something about the kids crabbing on the piers.
So piers are another issue. So we'll hold that thought, and let's talk first about, since all these things have different parameters, let's finish up on the boat dock, the boat launch, and then we can talk about the piers, all right? Is there any more discussion on the boat launch? All right. I believe the motion is to open it. Is that correct, Bill?
Yes.
All right. Let's vote on opening the boat launch. Bill?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
Yeah.
Okay, Cheryl, yes. So unanimous to get the boat launch out. We don't have to make all these decisions today, since we don't know what's happening, but we've got two other things that people have wanted to discuss: whether the piers should be open, whether the kayak rack should be put out, and one other thing, if someone wants to refresh my memory. Oh, the swim line. So does anyone want to move on any one of those three decisions?
Bill McDowell here. I don't see how you can shut down access to the piers. I mean, people are going to walk out on the piers as far as sitting on them or sunbathing on them or whatever. That was never used to be. That was never allowed. But as far as walking on them or fishing off them, I don't know if you can stop that.
So we can just not address it at all, or we can have a motion to either make them available to the public or close them off.
How would you close them off?
With tape.
This is Rick. I think that the piers are probably as wide as the walkways down to the beach. So there isn't a lot of difference there. I would say just table it for now. We have the beach open. I just leave the rest open and just leave the sign up.
We don't have a motion, right? Okay.
Not yet, no.
All right, if anybody wants any further discussion on that, we would need a motion. Otherwise, we'll just drop it. Okay, so peers and we don't need to discuss opening the beach at this point. Tim, is there a deadline by which we must get all the ropes in?
This is Jim. No, there's no deadline.
Okay.
This is Phil.
Yes,
this is Phil.
Yep.
I don't understand. If we push the sand back, isn't the beach open?
Opening the beach in general, it's not documented, I don't think, what opening the beach means, but there's a difference between pushing the sand back and putting all the swim lines up.
Okay. Okay. No, but I was just thinking, I thought you were saying maybe we wouldn't let people on the beach. I'm not sure. Wasn't sure.
Yeah. Nobody is making that decision right now unless someone feels really strongly about it. It's certainly something people are thinking about.
Right now, we don't have any models for decision here. Well, I think when we push the sand back, we're allowing people to go on the sand. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. It certainly would encourage people to go on the sand. Yes.
Okay, just checking.
So then the next question might be, once the beach is calling to people, are we going to be seeing groups of more than five people? Or, you know, that is an executive order, that social groups of more than five people are not to happen. And if we see that, are we going to enforce it in May and June? Or do we just not want to deal with it until we see what happens and we can have a special meeting?
No.
How do you enforce it? Do you have somebody walk up to them and say, I'm sorry, you can't gather in groups of more than five?
That's what the association manager does all summer when people are doing things that are against the rules.
Okay. And they tell him, I'm sorry, there's eight of us in this family, so we got to have eight here?
And that is when the association manager has the right to call the police.
Okay.
Especially in times of the pandemic.
Yeah, well.
But we will not have any staff in May and June. I mean,
right.
We don't really know what we're dealing with. We don't have a decision tonight on things like that, but we do need to be aware that we may have to meet again once we see what's happening.
Yep.
Anything else that people want to address in relationship to beaches or enforcement at this time?
Yeah, this is Mike Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to push the sand back, are we going to look at cleaning the beaches?
Good question. Historically, we clean the beaches on weekends in June, I believe. So we have time to make that decision.
I would think so. I do. I would. How does Niblong, does he charge by the month or by the cleaning, or is there a set rate for the season?
Can you weigh in on that, Jim?
Hi, this is Jim. Yeah, Mike. He does charge it by the day. It's like $200 a day to clean it. And he does charge by the truckload each time he removes the seaweed.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Yep.
So, and Jim, when is the normal time we start?
He starts at the end of. Yeah, he starts cleaning on weekends, end of June, and then when kids get out of school, usually like the last weekend in June, he'll go daily.
Okay, so we can worry about that later.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I do remember Father's Day being an issue, but that's still we have to the middle of June, so we can table that.
I have one other concern about the beaches, Cheryl. A couple meetings back, we discussed the deterioration at the bottom of Whitecap of the...
block that, to mark that up with yellow tape until...
Yeah, I just need that blocked off. If we're going to have the sand pushed down, I think we need to get that blocked off.
Thank you.
Hmm. Unless the town's going to do something about it.
I believe
did
they
anybody,
are.
Do we ask?
Yes, someone asked.
Hey, Rick and Steve, I did talk to Town Hall with the code. They haven't gotten out as much as they wanted to, but it is on their list. They told me to call them back May 1st to remind them and get them on it.
Terrific. Thank you.
So Steve, say that again. They are going to look into it?
But that's correct, though. Yeah, they haven't ascertained whose responsibility is. I think it's theirs if they're maintaining their own storm drain. They just haven't had a chance to come out and take a look at it. They've been kind of short-staffed and one person per truck and all that stuff. So,
all right. So it's in the works. Good.
It's in the works.
Okay. Have we worked this out for the time being to our satisfaction?
Mike Johnson again?
Yes.
Did we make a decision on the kayak racks?
No, we did not. Thank you.
Do we need to?
When do the kayak racks... No, the kayak racks don't need to go in for a while. We can postpone the decision. Plus, people can still bring their kayaks down to the beach. It's not a critical component. So unless someone feels the need to address it now, I guess we can wait. All right, can we move on to Section 7, New Business Number 2, Procedure for the Annual Meeting. I'll give you guys a little bit of background. I did talk to our attorney, and then Phil added some wisdom to this whole process. So here are some of the details. The May Annual Meeting... in the charter, Phil research, there is no technical date, even though we traditionally have our annual meeting on Memorial Day weekend. And I believe the reason we've had it Memorial Day weekend is because we have to have the budget voted on so that we can send out the tax bills by July 1st. So that is not an issue. Right now, no meetings can happen by executive order till May 20th, but we don't know if that's going to be extended as the school closings have been becoming more and more extended. The other thing that we do at annual meetings is we have a vote on the two or three, depending on the year, governors who need to elect two or three governors, depending on how many people's terms have expired. To call for a meeting, the annual meeting, we would need to have all our ducks in a row by about May 10th, because letters have to go out to everyone by May 20th, and those letters traditionally include information about rec club, women's club, procedures, et cetera, and they're printed. So they need to be written, printed, and get to people's homes by May 20th. We don't know whether we're even going to be able to have a physical meeting. So the recommendation of our council is do not plan on having a physical meeting on Memorial Day weekend. The question that leads us to, let me also add Phil, do you want me to speak for you, or do you want to say what you found about the meeting? Phil?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't ask the question again.
No, I was just repeating what you told me. I didn't know if you wanted to say it yourself, since you had done it, about the May 30th.
It's one of the reasons I was reading this very exciting document here. Cheryl asked me to just take a look, and you know, if you look at our charter and go to section 4, it talks about the annual meeting, and it talks about voting for new members or new board members. And what's interesting and surprising is that it says the annual meeting shall therefore be held not later than the 8th day of September at such a time and place as the governing board, blah, 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 and shall elect a governing board. So for whatever reason, I talked to Mary. I asked Mary, did we ever have it split like this, where we did the vote for the budget in May and then we did the vote for the board members in September? And she's not in the last 70 years. So, but it does say that. And what I think that means is that we could, and still stay within the charter, we could put off the annual meeting to any time before the 8th of September. And I suggest that we do that. We put off the annual meetings to September, and at that point have the elections. I don't know how else we can have, it would be very difficult to have elections any other way. And so that's what seems to me makes sense.
Thank you. And when I asked Mark, not even having this information that Phil shared with me about the really not having to have a meeting until September 7th, I said, I know we cannot vote in absentia on the budget. Our Board of Governors are to serve 3-year terms. Is it going to be a problem legally if they are serving 3-year and 2-month terms? He said he thought that, considering the pandemic, that was kind of a fine point, and that it would not be problematic, but he will get back to me as soon as he can get any more information. I don't know what the alternatives are. I don't know if we were compelled to have an election, if it's legal to do it by mail-in vote. I would hate to see that happen, because the community cannot see and meet the people that are running for positions. So I'm wondering if we can make a decision today pending its legality. And based on what Phil said, I would suggest moving that we postpone the elections of 2 Board of Governors until we can meet, until we can actually have a meeting by or before September 7th. And if we make that decision with the understanding that it has been established that this is a legal procedure under the pandemic accommodations. So, if someone wants to second that, we can have a discussion.
Well, I'll second it. Phil.
Okay. So basically, that whole big mouthful was basically postpone the elections till we can have our annual meeting before September 7th.
September 8th.
Thank you. Okay. All right, so we have a second. Do we want any discussion? All right. Brooke, would you mind reading how we put that?
Hello?
Yeah, Brooke?
No.
I'm going to unmute for a minute and see if maybe she's been. Okay, I'm just unmuting for Brooke. Can you hear me?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. I'm gonna mute. Well, no, I'm gonna leave everybody unmuted just so we make sure we hear you.
Okay. So, Cheryl, you moved to postpone the election of Board of Governor officers until we can meet. Until we can have our annual meeting by or before September 8th, and it's still seconded.
I think maybe put a clause assuming that we are assured that it's legal.
Okay. Will do.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any discussion? All right, let's have a vote on that. Bill?
No.
Mike?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yep.
That was a yes?
That was a yes.
Thank you. Sorry. Will?
No.
Okay. So the vote 6-1 in favor of that motion that has passed. All right. Dan and Al, are you both available now?
Yes.
Yes, I'm available.
Then I am going to open this up for the budget discussion, and hopefully we will have a proposal to present to the public, which we will post, be available for feedback via email to the BOG@blackpointbeachclub.com for any feedback between now and the May meeting, the May Board of Governors meeting, at which point we will discuss and adopt a budget in May. So Dan or and or Al, I'm going to ask you to introduce it.
Okay, Cheryl, thank you. Good evening, board members as well as members. My name is Dan Lemieux, 36 Whitecap. Cheryl asked me to help out with putting the budget together this year because of the departure of the treasurer. I was more than happy to help out. I had the pleasure to work with Al and Jim Moffitt, who was extremely helpful in this process, as well as other board members. Just to give you some assumptions, Cheryl gave us the guidance in light of the current economic condition as a result of this COVID-19 pandemic. Try our best to keep our mill rate the same or lower than last year. Not being that familiar with the expenses, I primarily used 3 years, or actually 2 years of prior year actual and the current year expenses through March of this year is what I had when I put this together. Like I said, Jim Moffitt was extremely helpful. He knew a lot of the detail of the individual line items of the budgets, and that was, like I said, extremely helpful. There's no impact here of COVID-19. We assume that the beach was going to open, the rec program was going to start on time, beaches will be maintained, security will be needed, et cetera. So there's absolutely no impact of COVID-19. There is a little impact for increase in security, as Jim Moffitt recommended. And also new over the last couple days and discussed in the beginning of this meeting is the tax deferral payment. There was no discussion or there was no assumption or adjustments made for the tax deferral payment. If I go to the actual budget itself, that was passed around. Like I said, we used two years of actual history, 17-18, 18-19, and year-to-date through March with the rest of the forecast for this year. I don't particularly want to go through each line item unless you have questions. I believe you all had the budget in hand for at least a few days. But the total budget is $270,101, the total income. And as you can see, the total expenses are the same, $270,101. That has created a mill rate of 1.42, which is less than last year of 1.48 and slightly above 18 and 19, which is 1.39. Going through the budget, the income numbers, again, 270,101. As you can see, the zoning and rec programs are consistent. The current tax number of 201,601 is just a calculation to make the budget, the expenses equal the income. So, and that's where the mill rate is calculated and how we came up with the 1.2. Just some other items to point out in the income section is the $25,000 of fund surplus. I'm sure many of the board members know what this is, but you have a corresponding expense under other expenses called contingency fund of $25,000. Basically what that is, it's an emergency fund in case there's an emergency like a Hurricane Sandy or what have you. This gives the board the approval to spend up to $25,000 on any type of emergency, any type of contingency that's needed. So these two amounts net out income expense, and there's really no impact on the budget. As we go down through the contractual services and the expenses, I want to point out that the rec program of $7,000 looks a little high from the prior or the first couple years, but the $6,000 estimated this year includes many of the fees and expenses for the fair. But I do also want to point out that the rec program income, the second line on the income line item, is $27,000. And the rec program is scheduled to break even, so you have $27,000 of income, $7,000 of expenses, including fair and the contractual services. And then if you go to the last set of expenses on the personnel services, you'll see $20,000 of rec personnel. So you have $20,000 of rec personnel expenses, $7,000 of supplies. Nets out to the $27,000 of income, so the rec program will break even. Again, all the other contractual services are consistent with prior years. Security, as I mentioned, there was some discussion specifically with Jim and Al with respect to the possibility of needing some extra security or a change in security. There was a discussion I heard earlier about using ACE. This is the Eastline Police, so we thought it was prudent to increase our security expense to $5,000. Operations, again, all pretty consistent. Jim verified the waterfront maintenance number of $36,000, so we thought that was appropriate to carry it forward to this upcoming year. when we get into the capital expenditures, a couple of things we want to point out. We put in the budget for this year's expenditures of $15,000. I will admit that was more of a guesstimate, I'll call it. This is up to the board to decide, but the items we put in that $15,000 are as follows. Reseal or resurface the White Cat parking lot, which was discussed earlier. That's $7,500 for the White Cat parking lot. Replace the swim raft for $5,000. Replace and install the Neanthic railing, which was discussed today, $1,500. And then miscellaneous for $1,000. So again, the White Cat parking lot was $7,500. The swim raft was $5,000. The hand railing was $1,500. And miscellaneous was $1,000. Total of $1,500. A lot of these expenses, or a lot of these capital expenses, were what Jim thought items that needed to be done and or were not completed in the prior year. Talked about the contingency fund. The last item in this section is the reserve fund for long-term capital improvements, $13,500. In prior years, it was around $8,000, if I recall. Each of us, Al, myself, and Jim, thought this amount was extremely low. It should be, at least in my professional opinion, this amount should equal what we consider depreciation of our long-term assets, of our capital assets each year. Cheryl mentioned to me at one point there's a committee put together to kind of document or estimate the value, fair market value of the assets, such as the clubhouse, the piers, the parking lots, whatever we have. And we should be depreciating that year over year in the long-term reserve fund for capital improvements should equal some amount equal to that depreciation. This way we build up funds and we don't have to have special assessments for members when we have to replace piers or boat launches or clubhouses, et cetera. So with that said, if I go down to personnel services, again, we use pretty much consistent with last year with the exception of the rec personnel, as Rick mentioned in the meeting. We are adding Fridays, and we're adding counselors as well. So there was a thought process that needed to raise the rec personnel line item for personnel services. And I believe the rest are pretty consistent or what was recommended by Cheryl and the board in terms of salary. So that's all I have. I don't know, Al or Jim Moffitt, if you have anything to add.
This is Al.
Jim.
No, you didn't. Go ahead, Jim.
Thanks. This is Jim. I don't have anything to add. Thank you. Thanks, Dan, and thanks, Al. That's it.
And this is Al. This is good work explaining this, Dan.
Hey, this is Rick. I have one question for you guys. On the grand list taxes where it talks about what was the mill rate, because it's not listed for year 17-18, because we took in a lot more tax money that year, and I had one resident here ask me that question. We're $223,000, where the next year was $195,000, and $208,000, and $201,000 projected. Why was it so high?
The mill rate, $223,000. I'm just looking at some of these old files. I don't have that either in terms of a mill rate, but it's not listed on Cindy's old reports.
This is Phil Lombardo.
Yep.
I asked Alan to do some research on that, which he did do. So, Rick, what's your question? What year do you want to know?
Well, 1718, it shows 223,126, and the next year it goes down to 195. And one of the residents asked, how is this possible since we have all this building and renovation and higher, you know, higher values of properties if the tax rate's going down $22,000? So that was his question, and I just want to give him an answer.
The mill rate for 1718 was 1.6.
1.6. Okay, so it dropped down to 1.38. Okay.
Yeah. And the year before it was 1.9. The year before that it was 1.52. And the year before that was 1.50. So this is, except for that weird year, this is a low mill rate.
Okay.
I would also just like to add, this is Dan Lemieux again, looking at the financials for 1718, we had a fund surplus of $43,000. So really, if you back that $43,000 out of the 223, you're down to about 180 tax. You know, the actual tax is needed to cover the expenses, which would have brought the 1.6 down substantially.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is Phil Lombardo again. And I like the budget, just want to make it clear that in the capital expenditure, there's $15,000 there, and Dan mentioned a number of things that, you know, he used to come up with that number. But I want to make it clear that we're not committed as a board to those expenditures. We can, as the year goes on, it might be a totally different list of things that we actually spend that money on, depending on what goes on. So I just want to make it clear that we didn't just vote to spend money on those five things.
And so that's representative. This is the sheriff. That $15,000 is representative of the kind of things, correct? We are already paying this year to pay for the hand railings. We have determined we're not going to reseal, and we have not discussed the swim raft. So, nevertheless, that $15,000 is likely to get spent on things that we need to get. Is that the rationale for that?
Right. And also, it's also important to note that last year we had in that column $30,000. So it's a $15,000 cut.
Thank you.
This is Rick again. I want to mention something about the rec program. We try to keep the budget the same as last year. There was an increase in funds. And remember, the rec program is supposed to be able to cover its own expenses by taking in the dues for each one of the kids. But this year, the increase of expenses is due to adding Fridays, additional counselors. And the state has mandated some wage increases that we have to honor with minimum wages. So that kind of thing is put in there. But the directors have also prepared a budget. What happens if, because of COVID, that we have a 10% decrease in population? So we're looking at alternate budgets also to make sure that we can maintain the staffing and the supervision, even at a smaller budget. So that's what we're trying to come together with, and it's very difficult when you don't know the start date and that type of thing. But we're trying to come up with alternative plans.
Thanks, Rick. I have another question for the board in terms of thinking. The reserve fund, long-term capital improvement. We have all agreed that we want to increase monies for that, and that's why we established a long-term fiscal planning committee, which for obvious reasons has not been meeting in the recent past, and we only developed it in the recent past. So we know we want to put more money in long-term capital improvement. We made a committee to study long-term needs, as Dan was mentioning. I'm wondering if this is the best year to jump the gun. We know that we are planning on increasing long-term capital improvement that based on what we learn about how we're going to need to spend money over the next 20 or 30 years. Considering how the pandemic has affected people's finances this year, I'm wondering if this is the best year to make that jump when we know we're going to need more, but we have a committee to study that and do it in a more organized fashion. It just seems like a bad year to add $5,000 to the budget when people are struggling. So I just wanted to throw that out.
This is Rick, but isn't the mill rate going down, so actually their taxes are going down?
That is correct, and I am just throwing out that a lot of people are in trouble fiscally, and I would like to be as sensitive as possible to that. So my feeling would be waiting another year to act on this with the data that we will have is more sensitive and responsible. But that's one person's opinion.
This is Rick again. I think that one of the biggest issues that people had this year was the large expense for the peer project, if you want to call it a complaint, where they had to pay it all up at once. So I think that if their taxes are going down, they see a little bit more going into the capital improvement program for long term, which I think we're going to have to increase substantially over the next couple of years, I think that they would feel comfortable seeing the tax rate go down, even though we're adding $5,000 to the capital fund.
Just the way you look at it, you know, I just think this is a year to be sensitive to people's fiscal needs as possible. But we will vote on the Does anybody want to change anything specific? Do we need to? I'm not quite sure how to proceed now. Does anyone want to talk about changing any line items? Do we want to move to accept? Does anyone want to make a motion to change any line items? I guess that would be a way to start. I'm sorry. Was that you, Will? I'm not hearing anything else in the discussion.
Cheryl, this is Rick again. When we first put the agenda, is this just informational? Can we really change things on the budget for this meeting or not? I don't know.
We can,
okay, but we don't vote on it. Okay.
Yes, we vote on the proposal. So the purpose of today's meeting is to propose a budget to give to the community. Now, this year, the community doesn't get a chance to vote, but they have a chance to respond. So by the end of tonight, we will have a proposed budget. Next month, we will have feedback from the community. We can weigh that and see if we want to change the proposal and vote to adopt the budget as changed or as is. That will happen in May, but what we are voting today is to vote on what we want to propose to adopt, and the vote to adopt will be next month after people have had a chance to review and give us input, despite the fact that they will not be able to vote. So, Does anyone want to add any, quite frankly, does anyone want to make a motion on any line item? Okay, then does someone want to move to accept this budget, this proposed budget, to propose this budget?
Yeah, Steve, I would like to make a motion to recommendation to the membership for the approval of this budget as presented.
Mike Johnson, I'll second.
Okay. Can I just, Brooke, are you there? Or can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I just wanted to check, since I have never worded the motion before, can you, is that appropriate wording?
I think if we like just want to make it clear that it's the proposed budget and it's not, you know, technically accepting the actual budget.
Okay, so we want to present this budget. We want to propose this budget. We want to vote on proposing this budget.
That sounds good.
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, and we have the second. So let's go for it. Bill?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Will?
Yes.
Cheryl, yes, it has been unanimously proposed. Thank you, everyone. We're not done, but we're done with that piece. And thank you, Dan and Al and Jim, for all of your efforts and help with this. Let me ripple through my papers and make sure I'm on task here. All right. Next on the agenda is public comments and board response. So I am going to go back into question and answer. We'll take questions first if there are any. We'll take comments first if there are any issues that we need to answer when the comments are done. Board members will respond. So I am going to put us in question and answer mode. If you would like to make a public comment, please dial *6 and wait until you are recognized. There will probably be pauses. I don't see any names coming up. I'm just going to give it another minute or two for the technology to either work its magic or convince me that there's no one in line to say anything.
Yeah, Cheryl, this is Colleen. Maybe there's just one person that could just ask a throwaway question to just prove that it is working appropriately.
Thank you, Colleen. Dorothy, are you still there? Would you dial *6?
There you go. You got one.
And Diane, all these people coming to help. Okay, thank you. I am going to first, I'm not sure if this is someone calling to help me, but area code 508, I am going to recognize you. All right. Who is calling from area code 508? Wait. Sorry, I muted you again. Okay. Here we go. Area code 508-561-8761. You have been called on. All right, I can't hear you, so if you are there, I'll come back to you. And if
sorry,
Hello? Yes.
Sorry, Cindy Troke, I was muted, and I had a hard time dialing in, I guess.
Okay.
All right. So I want to say thank you to everyone for all your time and effort that you guys have put into the budget and trying to address all the issues we have as a community. I know this COVID-19 is very serious, and I hope that all of us as members and part of the community do take this serious over this summer and that we protect ourselves and our family. Specifically to Brooke and Cheryl, thank you for your assistance in helping me and what I needed to try to understand about this meeting and all that stuff. And Phil, I'm glad that you're back and your health seems to bring you to help us, you know, get through this as well. And I love that you addressed the bylaws and the charters because I'm really trying to understand them and how we need to follow them and guide us through the process. Specifically, I wanted to address the security questions that we have that I kind of saw online. And I go to the charter and I do say that appointed at the expense of one or more of the special police or watchmen who shall have the power and the duties within its limits, its relation to criminals and offenses and all that of our town. So I also saw that in our Black Point regulations, it says number 6, the association through the association manager shall cause the motor vehicle laws and regulations, including but not limited to the speeding, stop sign violations, and other moving traffic violations, to be strictly enforced by the state and local police. But I also see that there is in New East Lyme Police Academy is also associated with the New England Law Enforcement Education Association. And what they do is they go to Hartford and they go to the State Police Academy and they get trained over there in the programs, and some of it is about, you know, the law enforcement styling training. The candidates also go through a summer of a boot camp there, and they also would like to be able to do a public service. So I think that I just wanted to put it out there that that could be an option that we could look into. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Bob Gunther, and I'm sorry, I forgot. I should have asked Cindy to repeat her address. Bob, would you give us your address?
Yeah, the Bob Gunther, 17 Bel Air. I was just calling in to let you know that it was working, but I'll ask a question anyway. Cleanup weekend, is there one scheduled where people can stay 6 feet apart and help, you know, rake and do that sort of thing that we did the last couple of years?
Okay, Bob, when we're all done, I'll give that to someone to answer. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll answer it before the end of the meeting. All right.
Sure.
So we'll get through all the questions first. Thank you. Okay. Dominic, I am unmuting you. Hang on for a second. Okay.
Hi, Dominic Reese, 21 Seaview. Thank you all for all that you do on the board. There was talk earlier in the meeting about blight laws, and I have to admit that blight regulations. I'm not up to speed on those. And I was just wondering about the enforcement because, you know, there are a few properties, especially toward the old Black Point area, that are in very bad need of some attention. And I'm wondering if anything is being done to address that under those regs.
Okay, we will get you an answer at the end of questions, Dominic.
Thank you.
Dan. Dan Lemieux, I have you as calling in. Is that an error?
Yeah, Cheryl, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, this is Dan Lemieux, 36 Whitecap. I, too, want to thank the board for all their hard work. There's a lot of things going on, and you volunteer your time, and I think it's pretty admirable, and thank you. The one comment I do want to make is, being a seasonal resident down at Black Point, we look forward to coming down in the summer, especially under this pandemic, COVID-19. We've all been cooped up in our houses, can't go anywhere, cabin fever, et cetera. So I would be very disheartened if we closed the beaches and piers, et cetera. I mean, we look forward to coming down right around this time, May, June timeframe. I'd like to see you keep the beaches and piers open. And I'm also finding, too, because I actually run a company that's open. It's an essential business. And people start policing themselves with social distancing. You really don't even need security. If people get too close to each other, they start complaining, is what I see. I mean, this social distancing has been sort of common practice for the last 3 to 4 weeks now. By the time summer rolls around, it'd be another, you know, four to six weeks. And I think we're going to see that people will stay away from each other. So I'd appreciate if you consider keeping the beaches open as well as the piers. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your perspective, Dan. That's pretty important. All right. Let's see. I am going to remove that. And all right, I can answer some of these questions, and I'll ask for others to answer some of the questions that came from the membership. Cindy, originally you had asked about contacting the board. Some people do send emails directly to me. It's a bit of a dilemma when I get those, because we usually post, make available under communications, email sent to board members. When it's sent to my personal mail, I am happy to respond, but then I don't know if it needs to be confidential. So all the board members will get any mail any member sends to this address, and it is posted as well on the web. The email address is B as in boy, O, G as in George, at blackpointbeachclub.com. So then it's an official communication, and it will stay in the records. Otherwise, I kind of have to make a decision, unless you send something to me personally and say, please keep this confidential. Bob Gunther asked about club cleanup. Who is it? Jim, is it you that organizes that now? Jim Moffitt?
Hi, Cheryl. This is Jim. Yes, that's me.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on the cleanup?
I thought when you said, like, we're closing events, shutting down, you know, any events going on, I thought that was included in it. So I was just going to kind of do it on my own as much as I can.
Okay,
I wasn't really going to have a formal event.
It probably would make more sense to wait until the social distancing restrictions are loosened a bit before we try to organize something on that big of a scale. But, membership, keep in touch with Jim and I if you have any thoughts or ways of problem solving it. We also, Jim may be able to postpone it if we're not using the grounds as much. Does anyone else on the board want to respond to that?
This is Rick. I would agree. I think that it's a nice community effort, and I would prefer us to, and without you, Jim, doing all the work yourself, for us to try to get together If we delay it by 30 days, since it's all going to be closed anyways, who knows, maybe by the end of May we could all get together and get it done with even a bigger crowd.
Yep.
Thank you, Rick. Dominic Reese, the person that you would contact about issues with blight would be our zoning enforcement officer. That's Jim Ventress. V is in Victor, E-N. T is in Tom, R, E, S is in Sam. And you can access him by going on the website and getting a contact. All right. Does anyone on the board have anything else to add before we adjourn? Okay, I do. I want to thank the board for all their work. It is amazing how much information people need to gather, research, decision-making, problem-solving, and everyone on the board who's been working incredibly. And I also want to thank very much Colleen and Brooke for your help with the technology. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved from Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Second?
Mike Johnson, second.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to run down. Bill?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Oh, yeah.
Steve?
Absolutely, and thanks, Colleen, for all your help with this.
Will?
Yes.
And Cheryl, yes. Good night, and stay healthy, everyone.
Stay healthy, all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay calm, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Cheryl, you can the record button to stop the recording now.
Okay, I do that before I leave. Here I was leaving.
Stop the recording, and then I'll work with Brooke tomorrow and pass off that file, and she can get it.